Conduct better educational leadership evaluations in less time with Super Eval, the online rubric-based evaluation tool for superintendents, principals, and central office administrators. Better communication that leads to healthy, efficient leadership teams, only at supereval.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Steve Barkley Ponders Out Loud podcast. For the last 35 years, I've had the opportunity to learn with educators at all levels, both nationally and internationally. In each of the coming episodes, I'll explore my thoughts and my learning on a variety of topics connected to teaching, learning, and leading. Thanks for listening in. Comfortable with discomfort. In the work that I've done across the past 35 years in the areas connected to coaching, peer coaching, instructional coaching, mentoring, coaching connected to supervision and administration. One of the elements that has been present from the very beginning is that coaching creates discomfort. Being coached brings some level of discomfort. And to grow from the coaching experience, a person has to become comfortable with having those feelings of discomfort. I often introduce this to folks using Tom Gordon's skill ladder, where he describes four steps on the ladder as unconsciously unskilled, consciously unskilled, consciously skilled, and then unconsciously skilled as that top step. Progress is made as a person moves between the steps on the ladder. So at the bottom of that ladder, I'm unconsciously unskilled, meaning I don't know what I don't know. It feels fine. Often when I'm working with first-year teachers getting ready for that first day on their new job, I share with them that when they introduce themselves to other teachers on staff and they describe that they're a new teacher, they might see that that experienced teacher giggle just a little bit. And I remind them that they aren't laughing at you as a new teacher, they're remembering. Because everyone knows that a new teacher's career is likely to advance an entire level somewhere opening day. You're going to become conscious now on the job of what it is that you don't know. And you don't have to be new to have that experience. All you have to do is change. I started my teaching career in grades 5 and 6 for 5 years, and then transferred to teach first grade. And that first day in first grade, when I wrote my name on the board and a student laughed and said it was a funny picture, I now realized what I didn't know about the job that I was taking on. So there's certain, boy, great discomfort that comes from recognizing that I now realize what I don't know. Only by accepting that discomfort is a person now ready to grow. Now, when I'm at that second step on the ladder, I'm now conscious of the fact I don't know something, and I want to move to the next level of the ladder. I move to becoming consciously skilled. And when you're consciously skilled, you can implement something new or different or change, but you can only do it if you are doing it consciously. And when I'm doing it consciously, it means all of my attention is focused on it. So it's choppy. It doesn't flow. It's not natural. And that produces discomfort. Now, if I've practiced something long enough, I move it to that top level of Gordon's ladder, and I now become unconsciously skilled. And some people are surprised to say, well, Steve, looks like Gordon's suggesting the highest level is unconscious. Wouldn't it be better to be conscious than unconscious? Well no, I do my best teaching when I do it unconsciously. What that's saying is I'm doing it with automaticity. But what separates the highest level of teaching is that ability to come back to the conscious level and to be able to reflect and understand why a successful learning experience was successful, because you can consciously identify what it is that you did, or when things aren't working, you aren't getting the results you want, you can come back to that conscious level and see where what you could change. The critical part is that whenever I'm working at that conscious level, I'm going to feel a degree of discomfort. But if I don't take on that discomfort, I can't put myself into a growth situation. So when I'm working as a mentor, when I'm working as a peer coach or an instructional coach, I need to know that my presence will be bringing some discomfort to the person that I'm providing the coaching to. As a person being coached, I need to recognize that unless I can get myself to enter in to that area of discomfort, the growth won't occur. So in effect, when I'm training people who are new to being instructional coaches, I share with them the district hired you to be an instructional coach to bring discomfort to teachers. And everyone kind of laughs at that, but now the hard part is, how do I create an environment where people will feel comfortable with that discomfort? I find it intriguing that teachers recognize this with their students. A teacher knows I can't improve a student's writing skills unless the student becomes uncomfortable with their current quality as a writer. I can't cause a musician or an artist to grow unless, as their coach, their instructor, their mentor, I get them to recognize some level of discomfort where their current performance isn't reaching the spot that they want it to get to. Interesting that teachers recognize this with their students, and that most teachers work to create a classroom environment where students can be comfortable with discomfort. I can't learn to speak another language unless I'm comfortable making mistakes to learn the language. I can't learn a new math concept or a new dance step without being comfortable to go through the uncomfortableness of those early attempts and learning times. And yet, while teachers understand that that's an environment they work on for their students, they frequently work to avoid that discomfort themselves. So a teacher will step back and not have their door open for other teachers to come in, not approach their colleagues for peer coaching or approach the instructional coach for coaching, because they want to avoid that feeling of discomfort. So think about the ways that you, as a teacher leader, as a school leader, work to create an environment in your school where the adults are comfortable with that discomfort. A big piece of it is trust, so that very often leaders can build that trust by openly sharing your discomfort, openly sharing with people how clumsy it feels to be using that new app, that new technology resource. Yet I'm doing it because my students are too important for me not to. In other words, my students deserve my willingness to go through that uncomfortable phase. And much the way, as a teacher, you create that classroom environment where the students support each other, we need to create that school culture where we as teachers support each other. So think about the ways that you model and you support your own willingness to step into discomfort in order to grow. And if you want to tackle moving a school to true greatness, we need to create an environment where people are uncomfortable with comfort. In other words, when things are going smoothly, it probably indicates that I need to raise the expectation in order to create a sense of discomfort in order to cause continued growth. That explains why one of the most difficult positions a principal can get placed in is to be hired as a principal in a high-performing school. Because often you can walk in that high-performing school and people have a sense that they've arrived and don't see a need to change. When you want to tackle that road from good to great, it means you've got to cause discomfort for people who are doing a good job. You may find that creates discomfort for you. Thanks for listening, folks. I'd love to hear what you're pondering. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Barkley, or send me your questions and find my videos and blogs at barkleypd.com.